Everything you know about health is about to change. Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Sometimes people suffer, not from lack of faith, but from lack of knowledge. This is the show that changes that. If you are tired of being sick, tired of not getting answers, tired of spinning in circles, then listen closely to the next 30 minutes. For healing is not a mystery. It is a miracle that you were designed to experience. It takes hard work and real knowledge. It takes patience and time. It takes the education this show can provide. So, get it straight today. Here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. Welcome to the show. I've done this before, but I'm going to do it again even better. Always we get better, correct? We're going to talk about great bowel movements, to put it plainly. But what I want to slant you towards today is an understanding that that big tube down at the end of you, the one that all the waste products come out of, is a living, dynamic ecosystem. It's an organ. Now, we think of the heart as an organ, and we think of the brain as an organ, and we think of the liver as an organ. But kind of the large intestine is just that place where all the stuff goes before it goes into the sewer. And that's what we think its job is. Well, after 50 minutes, I hope I'm going to have you mind turned around on that, in the sense that that large intestine, you know, traditionally the large intestine was where people like Bernard Jensen, some of our greatest nutritionists, claimed 90% of your health actually resided. So over the years, the expression was 80%, 90% of your health is in the large intestine. Now, how does that make any sense when traditionally the civilian understands that just as a tube that gets rid of your waste products? Well, that's the point. And that's the point of today's show, to turn your perception of the large intestine into what it actually is, a living, dynamic organ. And it's not what you think it is. That's why I do a show like this. You know, everybody can scan YouTube and read all sorts of neat stuff, and that's great. But what this show tries to do is give you what you can't get on YouTube. And that comes out of a lot of experience, and that comes out of concepts pieced together and then paced against clinical experience, drawing conclusions, going back to the blackboard of health, and seeing what really works based on what principles. And if you're new to the show, get on the website, straighttalk.cc, that's not .com, that's .cc, and that's two T's, Straight Talk, one word, lowercase. Try to follow with the pictures. If you can't, just listen. I'll describe it as best I can. Those of you who are already online, please look at the pictures. A picture tells a thousand words, and that's why those pictures are there. Saves you time. Show 309. We've got 309 hours over 5 years. It's its own encyclopedia. All right, the large intestine. Biggest point today, and the one, if you take home anything, take home this. The health of the large intestine, great bowel movements, everything that I've suggested that the intestines are, really doesn't have a lot to do with nutrition. Now, how's that? There's an opener for a nutrition show. It doesn't have a lot to do with your nutrition. Great bowel movements and the health of the colon, more than anything. And if you get in there in the trenches with people over decades, you will understand this to be the case. Number one, it's your head. The psyche creates the health in the intestinal tract. The psyche creates the health in the large intestine. And I'll just cut to the chase. It's called potty training. That's right. Little kids learn to poop, and it's either a nightmare, a torture, a misery, or it's a party. If your potty training experiences were a party, right there you've got half the health of your large intestine. There, end of show. You can go out and do your run now. You don't even need to listen. So I'm being tongue-in-cheek, yes, of course, but the point is, most of what you see out there, most of you out there in Radioland, when you have a problem defecating, you make a few nutritional changes, you stretch a little bit more, you go out and get your favorite poop powder, And voila, you're back on track and we don't have to think about it. That's not who I'm talking to today. People who listen to shows like this are interested in great bowel movements or a healthy ecosystem, or their digestive tube, and that includes bowel movements, have just been a life of misery. So I want to make sure I include everybody, but those of you who have had chronic issues defecating over the years and you're running around looking for your herbal solutions, well, yes, that's important, but it's up in your head. Look to the head. Look to the early childhood experiences. Freud called it the anal stage, right? One, we've got the oral stage. Did you get mommy's breast? Or did mommy deny you breast? Or did she pull it away because she didn't want to do it? Or did you have to compete with your brother, right? Two kids in the same year and a half, in that year and a half span there, right? If you have a child and then a year later you have another child, both those children can compete for the breast. Mommy may run out of milk. Point being, the oral stage, preceding the anal stage, the oral stage is your early introduction to the pleasure of the oral tube, the orifice. There's another orifice down on the other end. It's called the anal sphincter. And up higher is the secondary anal sphincter. And these are orifices that are supposed to teach the child. They're there for the child to explore and for the child to learn to derive pleasure. The defecation reflex is a pleasurable reflex. And those of us with healthy bowels know that it's a pleasurable reflex. People out there over the years that have the issues with bowel movements are generally people who skipped the anal stage. They didn't get it done right. Boy, could I tell you stories. I had a young lady once with lupus years ago, and she could recall the time that as a child, 2 years old, on the toilet bowl and then falling into the bowl, literally falling into the bowl and screaming for her mom, who couldn't be there because mom was drunk and on the living room couch. Now, you can understand why at 25 or 30, that child is going to be one of those kids, one of those young adults that has a difficult time defecating. How about you? You remember this one. You're in the car. There's a family of five or six. And what are you told? Everybody goes, you're going to laugh, but this is true. Everybody goes to the bathroom at the same time. Large families, to get by, you've got to do it like boot camp. So everybody eats at the same time. You have the same kind of food. You have the same flavor ice cream. And you defecate at the same time. Well, suppose you were the one that just, it didn't work that way. And you were always the one that had to defecate at the wrong time. Defecation anxiety. I could go on for days. Lots of you in the audience today that have had a history of poor bowel movements have that history because the nerves that are supposed to line the intestine to create the defecation reflex, those nerve fibers have been interrupted by the psyche. The body fails to have pleasure. Now, we have a word that kind of engulfs this, and when we say the enteric nervous system, so if you're on the website now, if you can get to, let me see here, that would be picture number, there we go, my tech's got everything up now. If you would move on down to, no, she doesn't, not quite yet. All right, she's missing a few still. I had a picture, it didn't come up yet, of the enteric nervous system. The enteric nervous system is the neurological term that we use to actually describe the investment of nerve fibers into the intestines that are related to the opiate experience, the pleasure experience, serotonin, GABA. the opioids, and everything we derive as a sense of pleasure when we go to the bathroom and defecate, that begins when you're that young. Now, what do you do about that? In somatic psychology or manipulative medicine that understands how to release psychically derived tension, you learn to retrain yourself through the defecation reflex. Once the intestines begin to constrict, once they constrict unduly because of childhood tensions, the muscles around the intestines constrict. And as those muscles constrict, well, that's where you can be manipulated. You can be communicated with. You can be spoken to through the piriformis muscle, the psoas muscle. You can be spoken to through the perineal muscles. And if those muscles learn to relax, the intestines begin to learn to relax. So we have to start on the outside very often to get to the inside. There have been lines of psychology of somatically based bodyworks that will start on the inside. They'll actually do manipulations up inside the anal sphincter into the coccyx. These are all done very legally, very therapeutically. But they're done in the name of turning on the tension pattern to what it is to relax itself. Now, if you're on the website and you're at picture number 46, you see a great picture of the brain and the gut. The gut's brain, known as the enteric nervous system, is located in sheaths of tissue lining the stomach's small, large intestine. What it's saying is something in the way of nerve plexuses communicating with the brain, all of which in you, with that difficult childhood, with that faulty anal stage in social development, are left with a very tight, constricted intestinal tract, and the muscles surrounding it are equally tight. We say psychogenic constipation. We say you, well, you're looking for all those herbs to find because that's going to make you defecate correctly. And of course, you don't have great success. Your cause is more on the psychogenic side. All right, so let me throw that one down because I really want to move. We've got so much to cover in today's show, but keep that in mind. Ask yourself if that's you. Next point is structure. There are actual structural reasons that people have difficult times defecating. There are structural reasons that prevent your large intestine from resurrecting into the healthy, dynamic organism that it actually is. So the structural causes, you got to go to the psoas muscle. Now, lots of you have heard me talk about this muscle. I'm going to give it to you today with a perspective that shows you, I want you to focus on the relationship of that psoas muscle and tension in the psoas muscle to the ramification into the large intestine. And that's what I want you to look at. So those of you on the site, if you would go simply to picture number 8, go to picture number 8. You're looking at the psoas muscle. Those of you driving, if you touch your belly and you go underneath that little bit of that small pad of fat, or maybe you don't have any, if you go underneath your muscles, if you go and you touch your guts, meaning your small and large intestine, and you pull all of those out, in other words, you get gutted. So sorry to be so graphic, but have you ever gutted a fish? Have you ever caught a fish and gutted it? Or a chicken and gutted it? Or any animal and gutted the animal? Do you know what gutting means? Gutting means you make a slice along the central line of the abdomen, you open up the muscles of the abdomen, you pull out all the organs. When you do that on an animal or a human being, there's a huge muscle underneath there. It looks like the one in picture number 8. It's one of the most powerful, if not the most powerful muscle next to the masseter in your body. It's called the psoas muscle. Years ago, I did massive amounts of dissection in cadaver labs. I've thoroughly dissected at least 100 bodies over the years. And when you get to